And my last topic for the day is about prayer of the prayer of presence, or living in the present moment and being in prayer now, not a meditation or liturgical prayer or spiritual reading, just now. So see if this helps you, it may. All we have is the present moment. This is the only reality we've got, is now. The future will be real, rather than imaginary, only when it's actually present. And you, probably like me, like half the human race, probably all the human race, we worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, and of course it hasn't happened yet, so we can't do anything about it, because we're not there to do anything about it, and it isn't there here to do anything about it either. We've got a plan, but we worry. And then when it becomes the present moment, well, you've managed all your present moments up till now, because you're here, you're alive. So we probably will manage the present moment, but fear of the future can be a big thing in our lives, can't it? In many people's lives, and the past we can be locked into. I can be, I presume you can be. So this is the only reality we've got, and that keeps shifting. So if we're going to live a life of prayer, it's essential that prayer permeate our present moment. The Catechism speaks of living a life of faith, hope and love, and we looked at these theological virtues back in lecture number 30, and we're now up to 46, I think. In number 12656 of the Catechism, we're told that one enters into prayer as one enters into liturgy by the narrow gate of faith. Through the signs of his presence, it is the face of the Lord that we seek and desire. It is his word that we want to hear and keep. The following number of the Catechism, number 2657, the Holy Spirit, who instructs us to celebrate the liturgy in expectation of Christ's return, teaches us to pray in hope. Conversely, the prayer of the church and personal prayer nourish hope in us. The Psalms, especially with their concrete and varied language, teach us to fix our hope in God. And he quotes from one of the Psalms, Psalm 40, verse 2, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. As St. Paul prayed, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And the next number, hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Prayer, formed by the liturgical life, draws everything into the love by which we are loved in Christ, and which enables us to respond to him by loving as he loved us. Love is the source of prayer. Whoever draws from it reaches the summit of prayer. In the words of the Cure of Ars, I love you, O my God, and my only desire is to love you until the last breath of my life. I love you, O my infinitely lovable God, and I would rather die loving you than live without loving you. I love you, Lord, and the only grace I ask is to love you eternally. My God, if my tongue cannot say in every moment that I love you, I want my heart to repeat it to you as often as I draw breath. I'm obviously just running through some of the Catechism articles on this. 2659, we learn to pray at certain moments by hearing the word of the Lord and sharing in his paschal mystery. But his Spirit is offered us at all times in the events of each day to make prayer spring up from us. Jesus' teaching about prayer to our Father is in the same vein as his teaching about providence. Time is in the Father's hand. It is in the present that we encounter God, not yesterday, nor tomorrow, but today. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice, harden not your hearts. And 2660 to complete this little introductory section. Prayer in the events of each day and each moment is one of the secrets of the kingdom revealed to little children, to the servants of Christ, to the poor of the Beatitudes. It is right and good to pray so that the coming of the kingdom of justice and peace may influence the march of history. But it is just as important to bring the help of prayer into humble, everyday situations. All forms of prayer can be the leaven to which the Lord compares the kingdom. In chapter 18 of the Yielding to Love, I have a chapter on called the Prayer of Presence, so see if this might be helpful to you. I'm quoting from my own book here. If we are faithful in preparing ourselves to receive the gift of prayer by applying ourselves through meditation to getting to know God better by getting to know God's Son better, we'll find that our meditative reflections tend to become simpler. Everyone notes that progress. This is the way with conversation between friends. You meet someone, you talk to them, they tell you about their life. But the more you know about them, you don't have to go over all that again because you know it. And I suppose maybe the best kind of friendship finally gets to a stage where you can just be there together, silent, because you know. And it's the communion in the sense. Well, it's like that with God as well. It's also the way with God. Teresa writes, I'm not asking you to do anything more than look at him. Who can keep you from turning the eyes of your soul towards the Lord? He never takes his eyes off you. So it's a very simple form of meditation. It's good, says Teresa of Avila, to reflect for a time, but we shouldn't always weary ourselves in seeking these reflections. Just remain there in his presence with the intellect quiet. If we can, we should occupy ourselves in looking upon him who is looking at us. Keep him company, talk with him, pray to him, humble ourselves before him, delight in him. We read that earlier. Teresa speaks of God dwelling within the soul in her Book of Life and Spiritual Testimonies. In her Way of Perfection, we read, speak with him as with a father, a brother, a lord, a spouse. He will teach you what you must do to please him. Remember how important it is for you to understand this truth, that the Lord is within us and we should be there with him. You know, instead of being out there extroverted, busy, distracted and all the rest of it, we've got to live inside while we're connecting outside. The fire of divine love is the more readily enkindled in those who pray in this way, for they are so near the fire that however small the blaze that has been fanned by the understanding, any small spark that flies out will cause them to burst into flame. When no hindrance comes from outside, they remain close, alone with their God, and are ready to become enkindled. She goes on, there's nothing to hinder you and your spouse from remaining alone together. When you desire to enter within yourself, to shut the door behind you, and to dwell in that paradise with your God, remember this is not a supernatural state. It's something you can do if you resolve to do it. We're all capable of doing this. It's prayer that we can do. We may take a whole hour to say the Our Father once, So long as we realize that we are with our Father and what he is, we are asking him and how willing he is, like any father, to grant it to us, and how he loves us to be with us, loves to be with us and to comfort us. He has no wish for us to tire our brains by a great deal of talking. So, staying with this just for a couple more pages, this simple prayer of recollection, simple, being in the presence silently, can extend over the entire day. God can touch our hearts in this way when we pause during our spiritual reading, when a particular phrase captures our attention during our vocal or liturgical prayer, when we gaze out of the window of our home. Likewise, in entering imaginatively in a gospel scene, we may be drawn just to be with God or be with Jesus. Prayer is a gift from God that always catches us by surprise. However, it's a gift that God is certainly offering to us. Hence the call of Jesus and the advice of his saints that we engage ourselves on a journey into prayer, a journey of reaching out towards God in order to welcome God and yield to God's love. In the prayer of simple awareness, we've gone as far as we can go in active prayer, meaning in the prayer that we can do. What God can do to us is beyond talking, in a way, and I will look at something next week, but we can all have spiritual reading, we can all meditate, we can all do what this is about, we can all be there in the presence and waste time in that way. No one can stop you doing it. And I conclude here with a very good book called Into the Silent Land by a man called Martin Laird. I've got the reference there for you, Darton, Longman and Todd, 2006. And it's the best I've read on this idea of a prayer word. It's a simple word that your own soul is at home with. Find one that suits you. I gave you one earlier. You are in me and I am in you. That might actually sit with your soul where you are now. Or it might be, I know when my father died, I was in the seminary and I was asked to come up and I got there just in time and I was there during the night and he was just saying the name Jesus all the time. That was his prayer word, just Jesus. So you might have yours and you might find something that on your breath that actually is you, real for you, and everyone will be different. Spoken on the breath as we breathe in and out. He speaks of ways, this Martin Laird, in which as prayer deepens, we deal with distractions. At the beginning, the prayer word acts as a place of escape from distractions. So you're praying, you're very distracted, and you say, oh, you realise you're distracted, so you say, I am in you and you are in me, or something to bring you back, or whatever it happens to be. So it's a little escape thing. He suggests that later the prayer word becomes a place from which we gaze at the distraction without comment while staying in communion. So we don't have to escape from it. The distraction's a thought, there's nothing wrong with it. So we just look at it, note it, and just keep praying. Like it's not a, and then back to prayer. It's just there. But what you do probably, and what I do certainly, and what probably everyone does, is we don't just get a distraction, but we start commenting on it. We start a video. Like the distraction sets us off on a 5-minute video. And that's the problem, really, the video, not the distraction. Finally, he says, the distraction can be drawn into the prayer, become part of the communion. The distraction is something about your daughter in England or something. Well, bring her into your communion with God. And then the distraction becomes an occasion of communion. It's all right. Laird writes, all distractions have within them the silent depths that we seek, the flowing vastness of presence that eludes every grasp of comprehension. Therefore, distractions do not have to be got rid of to relax their grip and reveal their hidden treasure. The distraction is actually could be a gift for prayer. Okay, well, that concludes today's offering, and I'll finish it next week. We'll go into some of the deep water. I'll need all the help you can give me.